So everyone's talking about Wicked.
They are.
Right now.
Yeah.
You work in a cinema.
I do.
You've been dealing with audiences and how they've been. Do you want to just a little word sum up of how that's been?
Fine.
So the reason I bring it up is because as somebody who works in the industry,
sure,
you'd be best placed to tell me what Wicked for Good is. Is it a sequel, a prequel?
I think it's like a, isn't it a sequel to the prequel of Wizard of Oz that kind of happens during and after Wizard of Oz?
Absolutely 100% correct, because it is in fact a sequel to a prequel of a movie based off a musical, which is an adaptation of a book,
yeah,
which is a prequel to a movie remake of a musical that was made from a book.
Yeah.
That's right. We are doing another episode of what I like to call, we have eaten all the culture and are now left eating the shit.
I'm Ben Groves.
I'm Rob McFarlane.
And welcome to the Every Movie Ever Podcast.
How you doing, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Shall we talk about what we're getting into this week?
Yes, please.
We are getting into the versions of the story that you don't know.
How this film is older than you can ever imagine.
The sinister world of Oz.
It really is. The truths you think you know about the making of this movie.
And finally, I'm just going to tell everyone what this means.
What's it all really
what
mean?
What it all then? Really means.
But what does it mean?
And not just as a film. What does it mean for you in your life?
Oh, I've got something for this.
Oh, I've got something there.
I think I've got a bit of I've got like the counterculture view of The Wizard of Oz. Because obviously seeing this film when I was very young, mint film, very colourful,
right?
Very sort of like, aww, everyone's friendly and everyone gets the nice stuff at the end. And this is gorgeous. Watching it again as an adult now, after going through the 30, I don't know, let's say I watched this when I was 7, going through 3 decades...
Yeah.
A bit of rough. And I watch it and I'm like, evil, dickhead, evil, liar.
So, good news.
Yeah.
We're going to be relatively spoiler light this week.
I mean, the film's fucking nigh on 100 years old. So
nearly 100 years old.
Yeah.
So I would argue it's impossible to spoil.
And yeah.
Secondly, everyone knows Wizard of Oz.
It's also ingrained in every aspect of culture.
Right.
It's referenced everywhere. If you've seen a TV show, it's referenced The Wizard of Oz at some point.
And just quick trigger warning, there are some mentions, or there may be some mentions, I'm going to try and make sure there are none, of Return to Oz and the Wheelers. They viscerally upset me.
Okay.
And they have viscerally upset others. So we're just saying off the top.
Okay.
That's probably the last time they're going to come up. You can enjoy the rest of the episode in peace.
Okay, yeah, I'm in for that.
Disgusting. Was this the first Wizard of Oz film?
I know a bit about the Wizard of Oz.
You said you know some stuff.
I know some stuff, and I know a lot of stuff.
I've phrased this a whole episode.
Right.
Being like, what do you think, Ben?
Okay.
You can tell us.
There's going to be shitloads of stuff that I don't
detail.
Know.
Exactly.
Which is going to be great, because I'm desperate to know it. So no, this isn't the first attempt at this movie. There was a few attempts to get it off the ground from various studios. They did fucking awfully, which is fine. There was a weird musical. It was like a stage play that was filmed in the 20s.
Say no more. So Frank Baum.
Yeah.
He writes the book.
Yeah.
Big hit.
Yeah.
Right?
Huge hit.
He then goes, let's do a musical.
Okay.
Of course, it's 1902.
Yeah, of course.
This is the Victorian era, essentially.
They love Technicolor musicals.
No, they love vaudeville.
Yeah.
So this is a vaudeville stage show. When they say there's a stage musical, it's literally cabaret.
Incredible.
The Lion and the Tin Man are just a comedy double act.
Amazing.
Dorothy is not a child, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Quite horny.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no dog?
No Toto.
No, replaced by a cow.
Toto. Replaced by a cow?
By a cow.
Why? Can cows dance better than dogs?
Apparently.
The 20s were
I've actually got it here. Apparently the dog underperformed.
What?
But there was dancing showgirls, which they called snow girls.
Ooh.
Not sure if they also were full of asbestos.
Ooh, they could be.
They could have been.
It was 1902.
Right.
I think everyone was full of asbestos back then. That's when we really cared about health.
So, wildly different.
Yeah.
But he was not done with the stage show.
He wanted
to get into films.
Yeah.
So from 1910 to the early 1920s.
Yeah.
7 fucking films.
Yeah.
I did not know this until I came to research this. All of them, fragmented.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
I watched the 1910 silent film.
Mm-hmm.
It is nightmare fuel.
Yes.
Black and white.
Horrifying,
grainy,
right?
It looks like the sort of thing a protagonist finds in a horror movie.
Exactly. It's like the sort of shit you'd find in the loft in Sinister.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That. Yeah, Dorothy looks like Annabelle.
Yeah.
And she's going around very clearly painted sets, just picking up unreliable, uncooperative animals.
Yes.
Just being like, we're on an adventure.
We're off to see the wizard. Stop biting me. Right, the wonderful wizard. Ah, Oz.
It's like Ted Bundy's childhood films.
Yeah.
It's horrific.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all flopped. They all flopped. At one point, he had a production company, which was called the Oz Film Manufacturing Company.
Okay.
Right? The logo was Princess Ozma, who's just a showgirl with a crown.
This sounds amazing.
And she's just a floating head that would appear and smile down at the audience members for far too long.
I love everything about this.
Right.
I would pay so much money to see the stage show of this.
Right.
Sack off Wicked.
So I'll come to Wicked because I got some fucking opinions about those movies.
I've not seen them. I'm excited to.
I've seen the first one. I was a fan of the stage show. This whole episode is because I have things I need to say about Wicked.
You don't want to do an episode on Wicked?
I don't want to do an episode on Wicked. Because they always say, if you've got nothing nice to say,
don't say it.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, 100%.
So what I've done is I found something I can say nice things about.
Right.
Whilst also slacking off Wicked.
Whilst also shitting on its sequel. Right, yeah, I got you.
The point is, Oz was already weird IP with a track record.
Yeah.
MGM didn't discover gold.
They did not.
They bought an IP.
Yeah.
And the reason being, Snow White. Snow White comes out. Disney makes $8 million in the middle of the Great Depression.
Yeah.
That's $250 million in today's money. So MGM are like, oh, we need some of that.
We'll have a bit of that.
We've got
a fucking lion that's roaring at everyone in the studio. We don't know how to wrangle that shit. $8 million would go a long way right now.
Right, right.
I think we're just going to fill it with snakes.
But check this out. If I were to say, ballpoint pens.
Sure.
Chemotherapy.
Right.
Nappies.
This sounds like a crossword puzzle that you've done recently.
Right. Velcro. Barcodes.
Okay.
Paperback books.
Right.
Super glue.
How long is this list?
Shopping trolleys.
Okay.
Bubble wrap.
We're still going. Okay.
The CIA.
Yeah.
The UN.
Sure.
And seatbelts.
Okay.
If you'd said any of those words to the people on the set of The Wizard of Oz, they would have thought you were having a stroke.
Okay.
Because they would not have known what any of those things were.
Yeah.
None of it had been invented.
That all makes sense. That all makes sense.
My point is, this was 1939, right? Everyone was living in black and white.
Yeah.
And Germans could get bagels without apologizing.
Ooh, what a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive.
Wildly misheard where that was going, but continue.
No, that I come back to that.
I thought you would.
Gone with the Wind, Stagecoach, Colour, Talkie Movies are now huge.
Yeah.
This is 20 months after Charlie Chaplin hit it big with Modern Times.
Amazing.
The silent black and white film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is great.
So like the change in what you were going to see at the cinema was insane. Technicolor. Oh,
this is rapid as fuck that's going now. This is old Hollywood when it had a bit of coal in the engine.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like right now, not only can you go to the cinema and see people,
you
can hear them talk
100%.
In color.
Yeah.
With a pre-recorded soundtrack, The Pianist is fired.
There you go. But also, we own the movie theaters.
Yes.
Technically owning the actors. So you... Oh, I'm sorry. Judy Garland's your favorite movie star. Awesome. She's working on 9 films at once.
Right. And all available
out of this theater alone. Enjoy.
Right.
Mint
Pure
time.
Crass commercialism, right?
Yeah. Horrendous.
So this movie is not some inspired bit of movie making. It's the first bubble that I want to pop.
Okay.
It's a classic, but not intentionally, because it is grabbing a well-known book, buying up the IP, and then trying to brute force a hit because Disney had one. So they were going to get one too, and they were going to make it quick. It's the OG Hollywood cash grab.
Yeah, it's Barbie to Disney's Oppenheimer.
Exactly. It's literally that. Literally that. The DNA of the modern franchise machine.
Yeah.
The remake, reboot, pre-existing IP.
Yeah.
Is all there in 1939, because Technicolor, it wasn't there to express meaning. It was the gimmick at the time.
Yeah,
it was the 3D movie.
Yeah,
it was like, this is new, do it. The reason her slippers are ruby is not because the story says they're ruby. The story says they're silver.
Right, yeah.
But you need it to pop in Technicolor.
100%.
So the road's going to be yellow.
Yeah.
The shoes have to be red.
Definitely.
All of the color palette in this film, all of the kind of like iconic creative choices are just limitations of the format.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, isn't she like 11 in the book? Isn't she like a proper child?
She's like child. Yeah, but the original actress
Right.
Wasn't as good at singing as Judy Garland was.
But she was a child, but she was a better actor, not a great singer, right?
She was a child, better actor, not a great singer.
Yeah.
See, you know this.
I know bits.
Right.
Because I've got a VHS at home, which is the making of...
There you go. Oz.
I said to you I had the DVD because I thought I could lend you the DVD. I don't have the DVD. I have two separate VHS, one of The Wizard of Oz and one of The Making of The Wizard of Oz.
Nice.
But it's such a fluff piece that's very obviously done by MGM at the time, where it's just sort of like, look how wonderful and amazing this is.
Come look at our wonderful production here.
Back in 1939, Technicolor was the new big thing, kids.
It was
that.
Everyone here is having a wonderful time.
Look at Judy Garland not being abused. How amazing does she look right here?
So
a bit chubby, I hear you say. We know. We've told her.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So she was brought in because she could sing, especially with the song Over the Rainbow, which...
Banger.
Very nearly not in the film.
Absolute banger.
So at the time, they were like, it slowed the film down.
It does.
Debate around this. Could have been the debate on a film had in the 2020s.
Okay.
Got to the point where Arthur Freed, one of the associate producers, said the song stays or I go.
Amazing.
And Louis B. Mayer of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer just went, oh, just have it. Just put it back in the picture. Can't hurt.
Yeah, can't hurt. And then it goes on to be one of the most iconic songs that's ever existed.
But I think my point is that all the decisions here are made for financial reasons.
Yeah.
All of them are made for, can we make it cheaper
1,000%
and quicker and make more money? This is the Borderlands movie of 1939.
That's a step too far.
No, it's not.
Okay, watch Borderlands and then say that statement out loud.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Okay.
Okay. It may have been a misstep. My point is...
I get what you're saying.
Made today, Dwayne The Rock Johnson would be Dorothy.
It's the Jumanji. There you go. Yeah. It's the Jumanji.
Jack Black would be the Lion.
Yeah, 100%.
Kevin Hart would be the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds would be the Tin Man.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal would be Toto.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum would somehow still be the Wizard.
Yeah, 100%. He's born for that role. He's amazing.
He's pissing me off these days.
How fucking dare you?
He pisses me off now.
I'm so prepped for this episode and I was so invested in it. Right now, what you've done right there is you've just smacked the cock out of my own hand and gone, no.
Do you know for why now?
Hit me.
Jeff Goldblum in the era of The Fly.
Yes.
Earth Girls Are Easy.
Amazing.
There's a horror film he does called Mr. Frost.
Yes.
Great film. Varied, dedicated actor.
Terrible film that he does called Shooting Elizabeth. Very fun.
Fun film.
Very fun.
There was a point in his career where he was doing clever, interesting performances.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum has only done one performance for the last 20 years, and it's the performance of Jeff Goldblum. If I see his name in a film, I know everything about how that character is going to be. It's going to be Jeff Goldblum.
Okay.
His Wizard of Oz is no different from who he is in Thor Ragnarok. It's the exact same character with the exact same characterizations, and it's dull and it's performative.
Okay.
And so much of what annoys me about either celebrities or songs or any form of art when it's inauthentic.
Okay.
I'm just like, just what's really going on? Don't tell me what you think I want to hear.
I'm fully on board with this. I see it now. I understand it.
I think it's less interesting and less talented than he has the capacity to be.
That's fully understandable.
It seems like it comes from a place of insecurity.
I'm going to offer a slight counterpoint. I'm going to say that Jeff Goldblum has always been this Jeff Goldblum.
Right.
It's just that Jeff Goldblum of old was the experimental jazz stage Jeff Goldblum. And what he's done is he's found his niche, which is subtle, simple, straight to the point jazz that's a crowd pleaser. He gets set up in a basement, in a smoky basement where people are sipping whiskeys.
He
and
just
everyone's
plays
a cool
his one
cat.
Hit. I think that's the thing. He's milking
he
the one,
one
hit,
hit. But he does it in several different, very subtle, different styles of jazz.
Okay.
And if you're not a fan of jazz, you're just looking at it going, it's a twat on a piano.
Right.
Which is completely understandable. But I'm here for it, man. If that's how he sees the world, I'm celebrating it until the cows come
home. Inauthentic performances, I think, the two words of this episode. And I'll tell you why later.
Okay. I'm going to disagree on the Jeff Goldblum. I don't think it's inauthentic. I think it's Jeff Goldblum being Jeff Goldblum.
Okay.
I think he's sick of putting on the mask. So he's like, you know what? I'm fucking mint the way I am.
Okay. Okay.
And in all fairness, he is.
So what else do you know about The Wizard of Oz? Tell me. What did you think of it rewatching it now? You said you found it different.
It's a very different watch now. It's a straight up horror movie now. I had a few takeaways. I forgot that this whole film is essentially triggered by Toto, her dog, biting an affluent woman, and she's on a mission to get the dog put down.
Yes.
That's the entire thing.
That's the best inciting incident since John Wick, except it's 100 years before John Wick.
It is 100 years ago, but also it's mirroring the whole movie, and it sets up the entire thing of what it is. Faceless, nameless man who is following a lawful order to massively affect a young girl's life without ever having known her or her dog, void of context. This is what the word says, so I'm going to do this. He does it through letter. Yep. And it's so heartless and cold and cruel. And it's that is the movie wrapped up in the whole thing. It's the perfect summation of what The Wizard of Oz is.
She's going somewhere to find a different way of living.
She's trying to escape the inevitability of this fucking horrendous awful system thing. That's in place. Yeah. And she escapes to a place via violent head trauma to a place where that exact thing is happening.
Yeah.
Because it would be that. That's the most recent memory she has.
Yeah.
This entire film is just a head trauma hallucination. It scares the shit out of me because I feel like it's a very sweet and innocent way to look at evil stuff happening, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's a very sweet, innocent, almost childlike way of looking at people and things and what they represent and taking it at face value.
Yeah.
But what I need to point out, I'm going to do it right now. Right. What I need to point out is that Glinda knew how to use the shoes all along.
She did.
That's a dick. That's a dick move.
I mean, that is the plot of Wicked. You're not the first to make the observation.
Dick move. I've not seen the Wicked yet. I will do.
Okay.
But that's a dick move.
Right.
And I feel like all she's doing is reinforcing the what do you bring to the table system that Dorothy was trying to escape and was sort of putting pressure on herself of what do I actually bring to the table? All I'm doing is causing drama and issues for my aunt and my uncle. And I'm never going to forgive myself. I never will.
Yeah.
Dick.
Yeah.
It's a rough watch as an adult because I'm like...
But it's not as rough a watch as it would have been if they'd done the half an hour following her waking up from the head trauma where her face droops on one side and she can't lift her arm all the way up.
That'd make more sense. Yeah.
This to me is they cut just at the bit before it gets really sad.
Yeah, 100%. Because I can't imagine the doctor's any better.
The doctor's going to be like, oh no, you've got ghosts in your blood. Let's use leeches. Yeah.
Also,
like
we're in Kansas and there's just been a tornado. You're on a waiting list of one for the next nine years whilst I build my wooden GP practice up again.
Yeah, yeah. She's never tapping them shoes together in real life.
She's never wearing shoes again.
Exactly.
Never.
No, I do see that. I do see the beauty and the loveliness of the film that
there's
happened.
There's some gorgeous stuff in there.
I think it's almost all entirely accidental.
Yeah.
Because this film had three directors.
Yeah, it did.
They kept changing them out. No, you're not doing it right. You're not doing it right. This was a Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer vehicle that happened to kind of fall into art by the dedication of the people who were there and the fact that everyone there was trying to do something with it because they were all very successful in their own careers.
Yeah, 100%.
Stooping low to the money gig.
100%.
And it would be what the Borderlands movie was if anyone in that movie was trying.
Sure. We need to watch Borderlands together because honestly, I'm desperate to see your reaction.
Okay.
It's painful.
Okay.
Painful. I watched Kill Bill, the whole bloody affair. I was in the cinema for 6 hours. It flew by because I had the time of my fucking life. Mm-hmm. I watched Borderlands, which is like an hour 40 tops. Felt like a month.
I'll do you a deal.
Yeah.
I'll watch Borderlands with you.
Yeah.
You have to watch the Wicked movies with me.
Yeah, I'm in.
Because they are problematic.
Okay. I'm in. I'm all in.
Okay,
I'm
good. All in. Good, 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 good.
My favorite thing about this film that I forgot. I just guess I didn't really pick up on, but it kind of answers the question, what happens if you cross a guilt-ridden runaway suffering with a ridiculously intense head trauma with a twister? And it's a question that I feel like isn't contemplated enough in philosophy.
Right.
Because what happens after is such a gorgeous little look into how the brain works after an intense smacking of a window.
What's that movie Will Smith did? Concussion, about CTE in sports.
Yeah.
That as a sequel to Twisters.
Or John Travolta's Phenomenon, where he gets a fucking head trauma, he sees a UFO, and then he can start moving pencils with his mind.
What was it called?
Phenomenon. You proud of yourself?
I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm. Fucking McDonald's over there. I walked right into it as well, and I will never forgive myself for that. I'm Dorothy. I'm Dorothy at the end of Wizard of Oz.
You are.
I'm patting my eyes.
You always I'll had. You could always have used those shoes.
I'll never forgive. You fucking knew how to use these shoes in the entire movie. You just wanted me to put a death squad together to melt your fucking competition.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Classic market manipulation.
It's so much trust issues. It's just trust issue after trust issue after trust issue, well, and everyone is lying.
Well, speaking of the inability to trust those who you should be able to rely on.
Right.
Can we go through the 7 levels of Wizard Oz making of hell?
I mean, I would love this. I would love to, because this sounds amazing. I'm okay, fully in.
Good. Level 1, mid to rough studio misery.
Okay.
Scarecrow.
Yes.
As a character.
Terrifying.
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 His mask, glued onto his face every day.
Yeah.
Quite a few hours of makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But the studio lights, because it's Technicolor.
Oh, of course.
Are running at infernal temperatures.
Literally like 3 suns.
Most days in the studio, it was hotter than 39 degrees.
Fucking hell.
Right?
It hits 19 in the UK and I'm in a grump.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? I'm too much. That's too much.
His glue for his face had to be peeled off every night.
Ugh.
Left permanent grooves in his face.
Jesus Christ.
However, didn't have it as bad as Bert Lahr, who plays the lion.
Okay.
Because the costume...
Yeah.
Made from real lion pelts.
There's so many other options.
Right. Right.
The Munchkin Kingdom, all of their Technicolor clothes were made out of the skins of the elderly. Was cotton not available? Is polyester around at this point?
Believe it or not, they had it far worse.
Amazing.
But it weighed 90 pounds. That's 40 kilos.
Fucking hell. Imagine walking around with a 40 kilo jacket.
Right. He used to sweat so much that it would get heavier throughout the day because it would absorb all the sweat. They used to have
fucking stank.
Right.
That's unreal.
They used to have to hang it up for the night to dry with heaters on it to evaporate all the sweat out.
Oh my God. It's like, is lion pelt machine washable? That must have fucking penged.
They had to pipe cold air into the suit between takes. It was the only thing they could do. They had like fans blowing air down a tube from outside the studio into his costume.
Hi, well, welcome to the audition. What was your latest role? Oh, well, I was the lion in The Wizard of Oz. And what was that like? Well, I was a man in an inflatable lion skin.
Right, you ready for level 2?
Sure.
The Tin Men.
How the fuck is that level 1? That's horrendous.
Right. That's where we start.
I'm going to put your skin on and pretend to be you for your family at Christmas. Welcome to the Wizard of Oz.
Puts the lotion in the basket.
That's what it is.
The Tin Men.
Would you fuck me?
I'd fuck me. Do you remember the Tin Men?
The Tin Men?
Tin Men.
I know the Tin Man.
Right. There was a first one.
Okay.
First one.
Died of lead poisoning because they wanted realistic metal paint.
Funny that.
Stop it.
Buddy Ebsen, the original Tin Man, his makeup... was pure aluminium dust.
I might be a psychic.
Right.
I might be a wizard.
It's intensely poisonous.
Yeah, obviously. It's fucking bits of metal on your face.
During the makeup process, he inhaled so much that both lungs collapsed.
Tuberculosis.
He ended up hospitalized in an oxygen tent.
Holy
and
shit.
And nearly died.
Maybe. I don't know if I knew this on sort of like a lungular level.
Right.
But because of my also collapsed lung, maybe we're lung brothers. You know
lung
what I mean?
Lung brothers.
Yeah.
I need your help, lung brother.
We're in the collapse club now, boy.
I fucked up, lung brother. I genuinely thought there were no rules.
Where's the lion, man? I need to be reinflated. Just borrow his coal pipe. You know what I mean?
So MGM,
sure,
obviously, didn't give a shit and just
immediately
replaced him.
Yeah, of course not. We own you.
Right.
We own you. Right. You're in 4 films right now. Shut
disabled
the fuck up.
For the rest of your life. Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? Here's 40 quid. That's $10 million in today's money.
So they replaced him with Jack Haley.
Right.
And they replaced the makeup.
With lead.
Funny that. With aluminium paste.
Amazing.
It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But they were like, well, to stop you breathing it in.
We'll just wet it.
We've made it a bit wet.
We just made it a bit wet.
Got in his eyes.
My God.
He got persistent, painful eye infections in both eyes.
Holy shit.
So he couldn't fucking see. because he had metal powder in his eye holes.
Fucking hell, man.
Every time he blinked, he was fucking sanding his cornea.
Listen, I've got... Look, right, we understand that the makeup's a little bit rough on you right now, right. But we've come up with a solution. It's aluminium contact lenses. What it is we've taken the aluminium paste and we put it in an oven. It's a bit drier.
Right.
And it'll keep it out of your eyeballs.
I'm not convinced that there wasn't a third original... Before they got to aluminium powder, it's just like, we'll just paint you with mercury.
No, what we're going to do is we're going to remove your skin and then put fucking bean tins for arm sleeves and then just,
funny, you
know what
you
I
should mention that.
Amazing. Here we
because
go.
Because the Tin Man costume,
yeah,
real metal.
Amazing.
Sharp on the inside, and he could barely move without cutting his skin.
My favourite thing about this so far is how strict and fervent the health and safety laws were.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? It's almost
Baldwin
like...
would have got away with it.
Right. Again. let me go back up.
Bang! Whoops.
Nappies, Velcro, barcodes, paperback books, super glue, shopping trolleys, and health and safety. Sorry, I should have added that clearly.
Yeah, that should have been a good one.
I think we've retro... Are you ready for level 3?
As if this is level 2. Yeah, hit me with level 3.
Right. Well, you know this one.
Okay.
The snow.
I know the snow.
The snow.
The snow is very fun.
Tell the listeners about the snow. So they're in the poppy field. It starts to snow.
It does. But obviously, to make realistic looking snow, you need realistic materials. Realistic fake snow. And the best material for that, notoriously, is the forever safe, forever not cancer causing asbestos.
Asbestos.
Yeah.
Tiny asbestos fibers.
Which is fine.
Just sprinkled on the...
If there's one
scene
thing that we've
film.
Learned through time is that asbestos is fine.
Asbestos is great.
Yeah, it's all good.
Get and your shit, Rex, now with extra asbestos.
Mine's barbecue flavor, because it don't taste good. That was the mullet that just came out there. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
There's a scene in this where Dorothy's asleep with the snow all over her face. Mm. And when you know it's powdered asbestos, you're just watching a child just be covered in poison.
Yeah.
It's a wild, wild shot.
In all fairness, the Wicked Witch of the West was like, I'm going to poison that poppy field. She fucking did.
We'll come to her. But first, still on level 3.
Glad you said to her.
The flying monkeys.
Okay.
How did they achieve that effect, do you think?
Ropes? Like wires?
Piano wires.
Piano wires.
Piano wires.
Yeah. D-sharp?
I've had to replace the wire on a piano.
That's fucking brave.
Well, they hold thousands of pounds worth of tension.
Yeah, but have you seen how fucking raw it is and how hard it is? Well, yeah, you changed one. How hard it is to twist one. The tension on that is disgusting.
I didn't have to tune it, thank God, because we had a lovely little blind man who would come and do that.
Why are they always blind? Sorry, this is wildly...
You know Daredevil?
Yeah.
That, but not that.
What, so a piano tuner needs to know that it's going to rain because it's dropped a degree in temperature? Is that what makes a piano tuner?
Other senses are sharper.
Oh. And why Daredevil? It's essentially a weatherman.
No, they were holed over the floor on piano wires, which regularly snapped. Several actors fell and broke their legs.
Jesus Christ.
And I can't imagine the shame of being in the flying monkey makeup, being hoisted into the air 30 feet. The wires snap.
30 feet.
You land on your legs. Fucking they snap. Hell. You've got all your bones are like crunchy bars that have been stood on but still in the packet.
Yeah, you look like a fucking busted accordion. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But you've still got the fucking monkey makeup on.
Oh my God.
And they're like, are you all right? Here's 40 quid.
It's 40 quid. That's $10 million in today's money. Imagine getting to the hospital dressed as one of the flying monkeys with broken legs and they're like, is this a hate crime? Were you trying to do a hate crime and got what you deserved?
I'm not here to kink shame, bro, but this is far.
Yeah.
This has gone a bit far.
Yeah, yeah, this is a bit
far. We've not invented the dark web yet. Give it time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, level 4 and 5. I've combined them for time.
All right.
Betty Danko.
Betty Danko.
Probably Donnie's grandmother.
Donnie Danko.
Donnie Danko.
I want that movie immediately.
That's the stoner comedy version of Donnie Darko.
Dude, where's my Darko?
Dude, where's my Darko?
But what does mine say? Your uncle's a pedo.
There was a broomstick, and Betty Danko is the witch's stunt double.
Okay.
And she gets on the broomstick and it starts flying.
Oh, I know this.
The way they achieved that effect was they had a hollow pipe as the handle.
Yeah.
And they filled it with solid fuel.
Yeah.
And they lit the end.
Yes.
It then
smokes it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It then immediately explodes.
Yes.
Blowing her off the rig, hospitalizing her for 2 weeks with prosthetics melted onto her skin.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know the last bit.
Yeah.
I knew the pipe full of fuel. And obviously, I mean, it's not... Some people live dangerously and I'm not here to judge. You know what I mean? That's... If that's what you need, that's... Or that's what you're willing to do, that's awesome. You know what I mean? Good for you. But Jesus Christ.
What do you know about level 5? And I'm going to give you the title.
Okay.
The Hanging Munchkin.
Oh, this is like... I don't know... Okay. I know bits of this.
What's the legend? Passing.
The legend is that in a certain cut of Wizard of Oz, there's a munchkin hanging from a tree in the background.
And the munchkins, because we didn't give you a breakdown, people who have forgotten, are the little people.
They are the little people,
Populate the whimsical villages.
Yeah.
And there are about 300 of them on set.
All with jobs. Snow White looking at you.
All of them with jobs except for the fact that they were paid half of what the dog was.
Okay.
The dog was on. The dog was being paid twice as much as each of them.
So was the dog getting 40 quid?
The dog was getting 40 quid.
Which is $10 million. $10 million
in today's money.
Jesus. And they were getting 20 quid.
They were getting 20 quid.
Which is $5 million in today's money, if I'm not correctly mistaken.
Our comedy aside,
sure.
They were getting paid fuck all.
Okay.
And they were being treated like subhumans.
Absolute shit. And then there's one theory, really dark theory, that they were so mistreated that one little person hung themselves and committed suicide.
Wasn't visible until they did a remaster in pre-1988.
Yeah.
And the resolution was better and you can see them hanging in the back of the shot.
And there's a ton of people online at the moment who are just sort of like, here's a brand new and sealed preset before the remaster. Hanging munchkin, ? And I'm like, well, that's 120 quid that I'm definitely going to have to spend and watch this film for it to not
because
be true.
I love nothing more than seeing a little person hanging.
No, but you have to know whether it's true. You have to know whether it's true. Because they don't answer the fucking question in the eBay post.
No.
They're just trying to sell you a VHS.
Of course.
And I appreciate that. That's called marketing. Mm-hmm. It's also called gaslighting. It's pronounced gaslighting.
It is.
It's called gaslighting.
Like
that's
GIF.
Fine. Like GIF.
Or Jod.
Yeah, exactly.
Our Lord Jod.
Yeah.
Right, you'll be pleased to know. Well, I don't know. You might be devastated to know. It's not true.
Good.
There is no hanging munchkin.
That is good, because now I don't have to spend 120 quid.
Right.
And also, you know, that he didn't kill himself.
But I also hope that this gives you some peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Some calm, because we have a hobby. You're listening to it right now, dear listener, right?
Yeah.
We love doing this.
This is a passion.
This somebody, their hobby was putting fake hanging munchkins into VHS copies. So
Shut
the original video that was posted on YouTube was they were viewing it on a CRT. So they had to edit
the original video,
record it to VHS.
Oh my God.
So they could then have the VHS in and go, look, one of the performers hung themselves on screen. Which is an incredible amount of dedication.
That's fucking hilarious.
But also, I'm really glad that's not my hobby.
But that person's going to live on in infamy because no one gives a fuck about who they are or what they did or why they did it. The legend of the hanging munchkin is everywhere. You go onto Reddit and type in hanging munchkin on Reddit and there is fucking threads on it, buddy.
I want to talk about the real hell.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What? Margaret Hamilton.
Okay, is this level 6?
This is level 6.
Okay.
She played the Wicked Witch.
Yeah.
And there is a scene in Munchkinland where she disappears in a burst of fire and red smoke.
She does, it's very cool.
Right, so it requires her to stand on a platform, which would lower her through a trap door.
Yes.
And when she was safely below the set, a burst of real fire would be ignited from the vents. Okay. Right. During the second take, the fire ignited prematurely.
Right.
Before she'd fully descended through the trapdoor.
Right.
So she falls into a box, being peppered with fire on the way.
But luckily her makeup was made of petrol.
Funny you should say that. Funny you should say that.
Okay.
Because her makeup was both incredibly poisonous.
Right.
Because it was copper-based green makeup. But it was incredibly flammable.
Yeah, because it was also, it was copper petrol.
Yes. Yeah.
Mixed in with a sprinkling of red diesel.
It was a petroleum jelly-based copper.
You see what
paint,
I'm saying?
Right?
It's a slag product of petrol.
Right.
I might be the fucking wizard. Might be him.
Also, her hat and her broom, made of gauze and straw, caught fire.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So basically, they put her in a saw trap.
Right.
Where they set her on fire and then dropped her into a coffin. Third degree
burns. This is Kill Bill.
Right. Third degree burns, hospitalized, recuperated at home for 6 weeks before returning to the set.
To do it all again.
This Although is the she fucking, did.
This is the lonely grave of Paula Schultz. This is where Uma Thurman is buried.
Right.
And we go back to the torturous tutelage of Pai Mei.
Good news.
Go on.
She did refuse to work with fire again.
Probably for the best.
Right. Well, you say that, but then that's when her stunt woman got her legs blown up.
Well, that is a good job that she said no then, isn't it? Otherwise, she'd been out for another 6 weeks. Here's 40 quid. It's $10 million in today's money, that is, right?
She didn't sue MGM because she was worried that they would end her career.
Yeah, everyone was.
Which is
everyone
fair.
Everyone was, because that's exactly what would happen.
It's 100% what would happen.
Yeah.
And then we have the final level. And this one you do know about.
I know bits of this, yeah, because it's heartbreaking.
Judy Garland.
Judy Garland was wildly abused on set.
Let me walk you through
I need you to walk me through it all in sequence because I've had stuff peppered in my brain for years and I've never wanted or felt the need to connect the dots because they're harrowing on their own.
Well, okay.
Not out of disrespect for her, more out of I don't want to be sad today.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So, good news.
Yeah.
We know pretty much the extent of it.
Okay. Okay.
There were no Wheelers.
Fine.
Sorry for those people who I did say we weren't going to be mentioning them
again. It's not that
bad. But Frances Gumm was her real name.
Okay.
And by all accounts, she was I've written here, a shy, enormously talented girl.
Yeah.
Was the reviews.
All true.
Grew up singing in tiny Midwestern stages with her sisters and got the job because of her singing voice.
Amazing.
They signed her when she was 13.
Yeah.
She'd already spent more life backstage than in classrooms. Now, 13 in 1930...
is essentially 37 in today's money.
According to Charlie Chaplin, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say that she... I'm not going to say...
That took a second for the penny to drop. But in today's money, it was a tenner. That was beautiful.
So I'm not going to say she had an easy life before she got to set. But nonetheless, she was a young girl. She was 16.
I can't stop. Sorry, Monte. I'm not laughing at any of this. You've gone immediately back into the real sad bits.
Now, whilst you're still laughing,
I'm still laughing.
MGM wanted Dorothy to be a little girl and Judy wasn't.
Oh, that's upsetting.
So they bound her breasts tightly with bandages.
There it is.
They forced her onto a brutal studio-mandated starvation diet.
Yeah.
Do you know what her diet was?
I don't know the ins and outs, but I know that it was fucking horrible.
Well, if you want to drop a few kilos this month, maybe try the Dorothy Judy Garland diet.
Okay.
Chicken stock, black coffee, and cigarettes.
That's the loosest shits I've ever heard.
You're not shitting on that. That's an all liquid diet.
That's just rusty radiator water.
Yeah.
That falls out of you twice a day.
Probably also flammable because
it's probably been recycled into the fucking witch's makeup. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Oh, also the munchkins, they were made out of the skin that was removed from Judy Garland's body.
There we go. Yeah.
It's all about pinching them pennies.
The rest of the routine, you just need some studio executives to constantly criticize your weight throughout the day.
Yeah, everyone did this all the fucking time.
Mm.
Yeah. I can't remember where I read it and I don't know whether it's true or not. It might just be someone being funny or trying to be funny. But there was a thing saying that for takes, there was, can you do it skinnier? Can you do that less chubby?
Fucking hell.
And it's like, how the fuck can you say that to a human person?
Right.
I don't know whether that's true.
Well,
and it might just be something that I've read in person.
How you can say that to a human person coming up.
Because you do it on the reg.
There's that, but there's more. Funny you should say that. Now, obviously, she's a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
The hours are very long. It's 39 degrees all of the time.
Yeah.
And you need this person to be on top form.
Of course.
What do you do?
pay him a tenner.
That's not working anymore. They need more. They need more energy.
Cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except they, obviously they're cheap. And cocaine, this is pre-cocaine.
Yeah.
This is, the film is older than cocaine.
Yeah, yeah.
So Benzedrine and amphetamines.
Okay, there you go.
Pump and full of speed.
Yeah.
So she would be given regimented diet pills that were, they requiem for a dream to a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
With the diet pills of benzedrine and amphetamines. But then she couldn't sleep, so then she'd have barbiturates at night.
Sure. So it was the German army diet.
Yeah, World War II. Chicken stuff.
Was Hitler on the Judy Garland diet? That's what I'm saying. He was at the Olympics getting all twitchy. He was like, where's my chicken stock? Where's my chicken stock and cigarettes?
Right, so they put her on this diet of chicken stock, black coffee, cigarettes, uppers during the day, right. Downers at night.
Okay.
When the lion jumps out and does his whole roar.
Yeah.
Judy Garland.
Is it a roar?
Well, this is the thing. She found it fucking hilarious.
Of course she would.
She kept corpsing because she was off her fucking tits.
Of course.
Director Victor Fleming, by about take 4 or 5, because again, right. This film is more expensive than...
It's ridiculously expensive. Right. This is made by £2,000,
right? Exactly,
which is $900 million today.
Each take is an annual salary. We're in the middle of the Great Depression. Film stock is not cheap. So he pops around the camera,
right,
and slaps her violently around the face.
Interesting.
Yeah, and tells her to get back to work.
But luckily, the amphetamines.
She didn't feel a thing.
Made her numb to everything in existence, so she can hear the future.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Refocused her. Mm-hmm. She got the take.
Yeah.
But, like you pointed out.
Slapped her in the face.
A 16-year-old girl.
Jesus
who you've drugged
Christ.
To get your performance. Who's also a contract player. So she can't quit the film.
Can't.
Because she is signed to MGM.
And to MGM, who owns the entire process.
And if she quits the film, they will never give her another job.
No, of course
not. And she can't work elsewhere. So you have to do the film that you are contracted to do. You have literally no choice because they own not only her career, but her image, her body, and her future.
Yeah.
Obviously, the way this turned out, she got incredibly addicted, an addiction she never shook.
Right.
She ended up with 5 marriages.
She did.
All to wildly inappropriate men.
Yeah.
Couldn't see her kids because of custody disputes, financial instability caused by poor management from being a drug addict. Underwent several psychiatric hospitalizations and died in 1969 in London from an overdose of the very drugs fed to her by the producers of this film. Aged 47.
Which in today's money is 85.
In today's money, that's a lot younger. Because 47 in 1930, you're basically, you're an old man.
You're in the army at 13.
Right, exactly.
You're retiring at 29.
Right.
Dead by 40.
Nowadays, 50-year-olds are looking younger than ever.
50-year-olds are just getting apprenticeships.
Right. I say that as a man who's fucking retrained.
I just nearly fucking died. I swear to God, I just choked on nothing. Yeah. There was nothing around.
Do you know what that was? It was Judy Garland's ghost.
Judy Garland's ghost trying to force pill. Phantom amphetamines down my throat.
And oh, phantomins.
And phantom... And phantomins.
Boobituates.
I just coughed up a staple.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Did you say boobituates?
Yeah.
You're a fucking monster. Jesus Christ. Judy Garland makes... The whole story of this is so unbelievable.
There's a very good film with Renee Zellweger called Judy, which is about her latter years. And one of the songs I grew up listening to was a song by a singer called Mark Almond, who had been the singer of Soft Cell.
Yeah.
Called Saint Judy, which is about her later years, and it's a fucking banger of a song.
It truly is.
It's sinister, but it's a banger of a song. Sinister movie, though. You were saying this was sinister,
dude. It's difficult. It's difficult to sum it up because it is very playful and it's very sort of like way when you're in the swing of it. But if you really sit and sort of like let it sink in for a second, it's got to be the most fucked up head trauma hallucinations of a child, right?
Yeah, 100%.
There's everything's so illogical. Like everyone, no matter how evil is still kind of a sweetheart.
Mm.
Like they still have this sort of like...
It's a child's conception of evil.
That's what it is. There's a childlike innocence to all of it. And
I'm a bad guy.
Yeah. Oh, don't look behind my curtain. Yeah. Oh, you've got me, kids. Oh, dear. What, you need some brains? Okay, well, here's a bit of paper that tells you you've got brains and he knows the square root of every isosceles triangle. And it's like, okay, so a bit of paper doesn't tell you that. The indoctrination of you need this to be a smart person has told you this, right? Yeah. Which is all kinds of fucked up and says so much about society even back then. And if you look at society now, where university graduates are getting jobs as like supermarket helpers because
baristas,
because the job market is fucking shocking.
Gone, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also, you're fine though, because you've got 100 grand in debt. So, you know what I mean? It's not all down.
Yet.
But you've got all this stuff. Violence is nowhere to be found. Not a speck of blood anywhere.
That was all behind the scenes. They were, there was some for
there was
the movie.
Enough broken legs from the fly monkeys.
In the original book,
they
are warriors.
Yeah,
they are 100%. Snapping the heads off birds.
Yeah,
they
it's
are
disgusting.
Killing creatures.
I've seen bits. I haven't read the full book. I've seen like snippets of it.
Yeah.
Being sort of like, guess what book this is from? You read it and you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
It's The Wizard of Oz.
There's a graphic novel of the original story and it's like a fucking Ultimates universe.
Okay, I need to get a hand on that. I need to get my hands on that. But like, even when they kill the Wicked Witch, she melts with a bit of water. She melts.
Ironically.
It brings up a joke about crystal witches and showers. But listen, different time and place. This isn't that plot time or place.
No.
You know what I mean? The biggest thing that makes me believe in like the worst of the worst that this is just sort of like a childlike hallucination is that when everything culminates in the Emerald City and you get a peek behind the curtain and it's just the curtain of absolute power.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, God, yeah.
You just see a normal guy surrounded by institution and everything that he dishes out is just the exact same thing that we see the sheriff doing at the beginning of the movie, where it's just following a bit of paper, a contextless situation, no need to understand the ins and outs of it because we have the dictation set by people above me, higher pay grade, that are paying my wages. And it's all this weird dynamic, this societal hierarchy that is just uncovered in such a playful, technicolor, brightly, I just want to go home. And then a fucking princess appears and be sort of like, you've had it with you all along. I just needed a tiny death squad to take out my competition. It's mental. You really sit with it and it's like, I don't understand how this isn't an 18. admittedly, I've just had a Red Bull. But I'm up now. This is it. This is me. This is too much. This is one of those films that gets under my skin and I sit and stew in it for a while.
There's a million and one things that you can do with what this film says within its fiction. I think the more sinister thing, the real sinisterness of this franchise,
lay it on me because I'm not having a fucking tiny meltdown about the stuff that I've sort of picked up.
This is what makes it worse.
Okay, mint.
Wizard of Oz and Wicked are cyclical. And it feels to me like the circumstances that led to the first one being made.
Yeah.
And these current batch of remakes are identical.
Okay.
They were in the midst of the Great Depression.
Right.
I would argue we're probably headed towards another. But The Wizard of Oz is a corporate copycat built with reckless ambition that led to an insane making of, but everyone in there was dedicated and they gave it their all.
Yeah.
And it was a flop at the time, but it became charming. And it's
cult classic.
It's such a time capsule of a unique moment in Hollywood history.
Mm.
This is one of the first color films that many people would have seen. One of the first talking films that many people would have seen. And it's the sort of opening salvo in what would become modern Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I have so much fondness for it. That's why I think there's interest to the film. 100%. And why I think it's artistically valid, even though it's a cash grab that through sheer force of circumstance became culture.
But I think it's a cash grab before cash grabs became cash grabs.
That's what makes it interesting, right?
Yeah.
Wicked is the logical modern evolution of that same impulse. Perfectly market tested.
Yeah.
Brand safe, pre-sold mega product.
Yeah.
Designed to be exactly what audiences already know they're supposed to want. There's no chaos. There's no risk. It's CGI.
Yeah.
There's no technological arms race. There's nothing new here.
No.
It's not James Cameron's Avatar being like, check this thing out.
It's all mid shots and Gaussian blurred backgrounds, right. And it's fucking outrageous to watch it.
The original was a messy miracle.
Mm-hmm.
This is a polished algorithm. And I would argue that the casting of music's very own Al Jolson tribute act, Ariana Grande, is the perfect casting for all the wrong reasons. Because there's a reason Ariana Grande named herself after coffee, because it can also be white or black at the drop of a hat, just like she can.
You're going to die on this hill.
I cannot stand.
I know.
The race swapping,
I know,
identity swapping, cultural appropriation machine that is Ariana Grande. It's like she has thank you nexted the whole diversity booklet.
Yeah, dude.
She has a song called Seven Rings,
yeah.
And I'm convinced every time she changes race, she gets a ring.
Yeah, one for the elves, one for the dwarves. I'm with you.
She feels not like a fixed person.
Right.
But more like a sort of high-budget Mark Zuckerberg creation.
Okay.
Who will just be whatever you need to be if it makes a little bit more money for her.
Yeah, of course.
And that's why I think her and Wicked go together like peas and carrots. Because Wicked, to me, is made under the exact same circumstances as The Wizard of Oz. But it's not the first cash grab. It's the latest in a long line, and it's no longer interesting. It's just, we'll get an IP that's aged out.
Yeah.
Oz the Great and Powerful with James Franco. No one cared.
Never seen it.
Right.
Never seen
because
it.
Because why would you?
I saw, was it Return to Oz?
Return to Oz. There's a whole bunch
this came out when I was still on drugs, though. You know what I mean? Right. So it was a very fun thing. I had no clue what was happening.
Right.
And I didn't care.
But this is it. It's a fractured IP. There's not really much going on.
Yeah.
There's a really popular stage version of it.
Sure.
So let's make that into a movie. It's a one-for-one parallel.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Financial
for me,
issues going on. The world's feeling like a darker place.
Yeah.
We're on the edge of war.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wicked for me is the proof that we are living in a time capsule and they've written 100 years of history and we're just coming around to a refresh now.
Well, yeah, look at the pandemics.
Do you remember that whole thing? Hell.
Like 1920s.
Yeah.
And then 2020s, 1820s. If you go back, there's like a weird cyclical thing to it. This is what all the conspiracy theorists were shouting about 5 years ago. Weirdly silent
Super
now.
Super quiet now.
As soon as we can get back to Benidorm, everything's fine. Sorry, that was weirdly personal.
I like that. That was fucking spot on.
Thanks. Still annoys me.
Hi guys, I will come back with more conspiracy-led content, but I am actually having quite a nice time by the pool right now.
I got 91 days in Benidorm for £400.
Right, yeah.
And in today's money.
That's my what does it really mean?
I like it. I've got something a little bit different.
Ooh.
I think what it really means, for me personally, is it doesn't matter what you're lacking or perceived to be lacking, right? It's learning to accept yourself for who you are. It's trying to be the person who gives you the validation that you need with or without the man behind the curtain, giving it to you in the form of a degree or a medal or a fucking ticking clock that you can wear on your coat because you did a good service at some point in your life. It's learning to appreciate what's in your own backyard before venturing out into the world to find out what's really been inside you the entire time. It's learning to sit and stare in the mirror. And I get this a lot from movies, and I think it's just because of what I've been doing for the last 2 years.
It's where you're at.
And it's great. I think it's that. I also think it's that Glinda is a dick.
Yeah.
And that I think might be the evil witch. She knew the shoes. She knew them all the whole fucking damn film. She knew it.
I'm not going
to get over this.
I feel bad. I do feel bad because what you have arrived at,
right,
as your twist,
right,
is the plot of the Wicked films.
Yeah, but that's fucking annoying though. I feel like that's detrimental to the Wizard of Oz.
Yes,
but that's fucking. I hate that.
Yeah,
Glinda's a dick.
Yeah,
and she's like presented as this like nice fucking happy go lucky. Oh. Isn't everything lovely? Don't forget the dead woman's shoes. That's also, a, that's just a quick one.
It's a very different Shane Meadows film.
If I, yeah, exactly.
Dead Woman's Shoes.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
I saw a little thing online earlier. I was just, the film was coming to an end. I Googled Wizard of Oz. The first thing that comes up is that it's the doppelganger theory.
Right.
In that Dorothy is actually the Wicked Witch of the West. So you know how everyone in Oz has a representation from the people in her real life? Mm-hmm. So the farmhands are the lion, yes, the tin man.
Yeah,
everyone has a representation. The only thing that doesn't work is the fact that her auntie doesn't have representation, which means she might be the Wicked Witch of the West.
Right.
Which brings up this whole thing. But it was a really weird thing to sort of stumble across because so many people had weighed in on this.
Yeah.
And it's an odd thing for people on Reddit to get very passionate about.
Dude, this is a film you get very passionate about.
Yeah, but it's a mad
film. She's the Wicked Witch of the East, bro.
Yeah, dude, I guess.
She came down in a bubble, bro.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, this whole doppelganger theory is that she's the Wicked Witch of the West and that she's the one that's been running around terrorizing everyone because of what she was doing in Kansas.
Maybe the whole film is an exploration of her inner psyche.
Maybe.
And her fighting her inner witch.
Maybe. Or she just got smacked in the head with a fucking window during a tornado. And is slowly dying.
And is about to have a stroke.
He's
slowly dying. Yeah. Look, just before we give you all our final, definitive, controversial...
Everyone knows it's...
All-time rating everyone knows of our the film. Ratings
so far.
Let's see what you lovely people on the World Wide Web have been saying, shall we? I've got a few. We don't have to get through them all, but I think some of these are nice. That's a screenshot of a recipe that I cooked.
Oh, that does sound nice.
Get some brownies.
Yeah.
Tarantino doesn't think Paul Dano is a good actor.
I've read this.
What's that about? You're the Tarantino guy.
Okay,
the show.
I think...
You're the licensed Tarantinoist.
I don't agree with him at all, because Paul Dano is a fucking objectively amazing actor.
Mm-hmm.
Little Miss Sunshine. If that shit don't break your heart, don't know what will.
Right.
Love and Mercy. Show me a better Brian Wilson. John Cusack. Eat my beans. He's a fucking amazing actor. I don't entirely understand it. I read the headline and was like, I don't really want to be upset at Tarantino right now.
Fine.
Because I was about to go and watch The Whole Bloody Affair.
And then, yeah, okay, so you wanted to be in good spirits with Tarantino. Fine.
100%. I will get to it. I will read it shortly. But I didn't want to be upset. I also didn't want to be upset about the Netflix Warner Brothers deal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've read bits. I don't want to get into it too much because it's just
going
to upset me.
Because I'm burying my head in this. I don't have Reddit anymore.
Okay.
I don't have social media.
Netflix
I don't know
are acquiring
how
Warner Brothers. And HBO Max for 87 billion.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So guess who's getting less cinema time? New movies.
Yay.
But don't worry though, straight to streaming. How good is that
going
to be? There you go. What a bump for the industry that's going to be.
Although it may end the sort of box office blockbuster being quite as broad, because they're going to maybe try and target niche audiences rather than this has to be... I feel like cinema, Wicked is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be an IP that everyone knows.
Sure.
It needs to not turn anyone off. Just get bums on seats. And maybe Netflix with these...
In the current model, that's what everyone's chasing.
Yeah.
I think what everyone misses out on is the loyal person that goes for the experience and then offering 100%. That experience.
But then as a studio, are you not saying that that person's going to go, whatever we do?
But if whatever we're doing is going to cost us a fraction of the price and let actors be actors and do stuff they creatively want to do and let artists be artists.
So it could be a good thing.
It could be. I don't trust it.
Speaking of good things, my favorite reel that we've ever put out about whether or not Craig Zahler's film Bone Tomahawk is the representation that Native Americans need in contemporary America.
Okay.
I've got some measured responses here.
Yeah.
At right behind you, just got in touch to say gay.
I had no clue where that was going, but I had a feeling that comment was just going to be gay.
There we go.
Yeah.
At Phantom 57162.
Gay.
Go cry about it. You were close.
Sick.
Go cry about it.
Sound.
So we're us going, when you colonized and then took their land.
Sure.
And then made films about taking their land where they were the villains.
Yes.
Is another one of those in 2015. Go cry about it.
I will.
Measured respect. I will. I will. I'm going to go do that right now.
Yeah.
Going to do that right now.
Yeah.
And then I thought this was a lovely one because we recently covered the 90s Matthew Broderick starring Godzilla.
Yeah, we did.
And I think it's a good summation of how we felt about the film.
All right, so you've just handed me your phone. You want me to read this one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is Zach Slade. I can't remember a thing about this movie, but I just finally remember it as a moment in time. That Jamiroquai banger, the epic toys, the massive 3D poster that gave away in the sun, the little glasses. Dude, that was the fucking...
Yes.
That was the thing. The Burger King toys and tie-in promos, peak 90s, take me back. Fucking in it.
I figure, I wanted you to read that one because all of those are things that you're probably going to now try and find on eBay.
I think I've still got the 3D glasses. I recently got some more 3D glasses with Piranha 3DD.
Nice.
And Piranha 3D, so I've got two pairs.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So we could watch Piranha 3D in 3D.
In 3D.
Old school 3D.
Old school 3D.
Yeah.
Well, that's Comic Corner Gang, and we would hope it's obvious how you can get involved. Maybe hear us dive into your thoughts about the movies we're covering. Just find us on social media.
Just do it. But unfortunately, guys, that is all the time we have for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. I don't want to go. I know Rob doesn't want to go.
No.
I know you don't want to go because you're having the time of your life.
Well, we could hang out a bit further on Patreon.
We could do that. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
And if you're having the time of your life and you're going to go and tell your mates about it right now, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, thank you very much in advance. Love you.
Amazing.
Come join us on Patreon.
It's a quid.
It's like £1.50, maybe.
£1.50, £2.
I don't know anymore.
Exchange rates in today's money.
Apple. Apparently it's more expensive on Apple now. I don't know how this works. I'm 37. I'm allergic to technology. In today's money, I'm 94. Let's just fucking leave me alone. All right?
Ben is now going to wrap up the thoughts, themes, and feelings of
this
week's
episode.
I'm just
going to yell Glenda's a dick, because what else is there to do?
Well, I'm just going to tell everyone to consume.
She knew about the fucking shoes. She was like, this little bitch is going to get me a death squad to melt the only competition stood in my way. I need to copy the fucking wizard stuff to make people believe that I have power, when really all I've got is a bubble machine. What the fuck? And Glinda's the good one. There's kids running around dressed up as Glinda being like, I like the pink one. Why?